Praise God. Amen. I want to welcome you to our Midway Kingdom Leadership Training. We thank God that you are here tonight, those of you who are physically here. And do we have, by the way, anyone who is here tonight for the very first time? Is this your first time in the Diplomat Center? There's one, there's two, there's three. Okay, stand for us. Amen. Amen, there's four. Okay, give them a warm welcome. God bless you. Amen, we're delighted you're here tonight. You are going to be changed by the truth of God's word. And you will discover the leader in you. We also want to say welcome to all of our members, friends, and family who are joining us all around the world. They've tuned in. You've tuned in tonight for another session of our leadership training. Welcome from the Diplomat Center here in Nassau, Bahamas. Give them a warm, warm welcome. Amen. Praise God. All right. I trust you have your notebooks, your iPads, whatever it is you're going to take notes on tonight, and you're ready to go. If you are, say, I'm ready. All right, put your hands together. Let's welcome our facilitator tonight, our senior pastor, Dr. Miles Monroe. Come on, give him a warm hand as he comes.
Amen. To him be glory. To him be glory. How many of you are reading this book? Let me see your hands. Let me see those hands. One, two, three, four, five. Oh, you just remember you're reading it? Six, seven, eight, nine. I am ashamed. Well, I see why the people in other countries are advancing beyond sometimes my own children. I was on a radio program today. It's called the 411. The host of that program is a lady named Sharon Kay. It was a live program for 1 hour. And it was covering the Midwest of the United States, 11 million people. And this was the book they interviewed me on. And they were offering it on the radio station, millions of people, and the lines were jammed on the telephone. I just finished talking to them at 7 o'clock, from 6 to 7. And I thought, let me come downstairs and see how many of my own people are reading the book I told them they must read for Wednesday night. Don't let me give you a quiz on it now. And you tell me you read it, I will call you up here and ask you what's in chapter 7. And you got to explain it without looking at the book. I always read books more than once. Anyhow, this is a book I recommend to everyone. Can you switch my screens, please, guys? Help me out here. It's very important that we read this book because I don't want to assume anything. And those of you who were ordained on Sunday, this is requirement. Please. You cannot lead without understanding leadership. And you cannot follow a leader if you don't understand the leader's philosophy. It's called school of thought. What is the leader's thinking, his mindset? And it's in that book. So please make sure you get a copy of that. And those of you joining us for the first time, this is really a privilege to have you. Thank you so much. I know they had some challenges with the internet tonight. I hope they got those sorted out. Freeport told me that they were having some challenges as well getting online. So we're hoping that they get those things fixed. Did you all enjoy Constitution Day? Can I have three people who want to tell me what they learned on Constitution Day? Can you come up here, please? something that really changed your life, impacted you while you were here during that day. We got one. Minister Beverly is up. I need two more. Please proceed.
I was so sorry that Sunday that they asked and I didn't get up and move, so I had to move tonight quickly. I was not born in the Bahamas, as you know. I'm a citizen. I came to the Bahamas and became a citizen, so I do vote.
Praise
you can't
Lord.
Send me home. I'm a citizen.
Amen.
But God wanted me to share with you the fact that we were able to touch historians, the people that are writing history. In the United States, ours have been dead for a couple of centuries, who wrote the Constitution.
That's right.
And for us to be able to hear the mindset, the thought behind writing the Constitution that sets the foundation for the nation, for me, was just, it was awesome. I learned a lot. I appreciated a lot. I've been teaching about Bahamian history and places of interest and historic events in the country for years through Bahama Host and, of course, at Atlantis. But to be able to hear them speak that day was very rewarding and enriching for me. So thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you, Beverly. Minister Beverly. Can I have two more persons, please? Thank you. I don't think that we appreciate what happened on that day. That's a historic experience for me. Please.
Good night, all. What stood out mostly with me was when George Smith spoke about the Senate, the way it was originally supposed to be, and how it's supposed to be normally the people in society rather than people who aren't elected. They take their seats. And what I said was that, you know, if we can only get back to that, then the politician will be more in touch with what the feeling of the country is like and what the atmosphere of the country is like. And they could get a better view, or I should say another view, other than just a political view, and then they'll really be in touch with society itself.
The same way. Yeah. Yes.
Good night.
Excellent.
What really stood out to me was the fact that just hearing about what these great men had to go through to really get us to the point that we're at today and to have it be dealt with so cheaply, that really stood out to me. And I was just privileged and honored to be in their presence and just to learn about all that they went through and what they have accomplished, and I've never been taught that in school. So it was really, really good to just be here and just to be in their presence.
Well said. She spoke for me, too. Thank you very much. Now, you see?
I want to share something, not basically on the Constitution, but I was Sunday... I was privileged to be at Garifta with Honorable Richard Lightburn. And he said he visited our church a couple months ago.
And he was said, there that day.
Right. Yeah. And he said when he sat in the corner for the first time, he said he always, his knee was bothering him. And he said, when you're calling up, and he said, wonder if I should go. Up, and he said, when you prayed for him, he stood there and he watched you prayed for everybody, and they just went in the spirit. And he said, boy, that's something new. And he said, when you called him up and you prayed for his knees, the next morning, his knees was completely healed. And, you know, he said, he never met a man like you. And he said, you know, he went to a lot of churches, and a lot of people are so religious. And he said, this man is, he brings facts. And he said, when he went home, everything what you said, he went back and looked it up. You know, and everything was there. And, you know, I thank God for my pastor for the influence that he have on these. on the latest lockdown. And I think by your influence, I think we're going to see a new generation of leadership in this country.
Thank you, Paul. You're a good son. Let me give God praise. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about becoming a leader, but I want to focus on something very simple. Write this down. Defining true leadership. That's what you want to talk about tonight. Defining true leadership. How do you define true leadership? Our focus is understanding the principles of what makes a person a true leader. This is a very difficult session, and yet it's very easy. Because to define leadership has been an elusive dream for over 3,000 years. Leadership is like beauty. You know it when you see it, but you can't define it. You know when you met someone who is a leader, but you can't sometimes tell why they are that way. And so when you talk about defining something, you are taking a chance. But definitions come from, first of all, truth, and then they come from consistent occurrence, consistency. You define something based on its consistency. This is why you can define something based on the principles involved in it. Principles are laws that are always the same. So you can study a million people throughout history looking for what makes a person a leader. And you can use all kinds of assessment tools. You can use all kinds of complicated, you know, formulas. But when you really want to define something like leadership, which is very elusive, you look for consistency. In other words, when you meet a person who is outstanding and effective, and they make an impact and they change history, then you study them for certain qualities and see if those qualities reoccur in other people who had the same results. This is how you define something like leadership. And so, for example, you may study Moses, who was considered a great leader in history. And we all know Moses, even those of us who don't like him know him. And we know that he did something very significant. He led a band of slaves and turned them into a country. We know of people like Joshua, who succeeded him. And we know of his leadership experience. And then we may study someone like maybe Joseph, and we look for certain principles and see if they're the same in Moses as they are in Joshua. And then you study, you know, people like Jesus Christ, and you see if those qualities that he had are the same ones that Moses had, or Joshua, or Daniel, another leader that was very significant during the time of Babylon. And then you study people like the Apostle Paul, maybe from the Bible, to see if he has the same qualities that Jesus had, and that Peter may have had, and Joseph and Moses. And when you begin to study these different characters, you begin to see perhaps some consistent qualities that are found in each one of them that may have made them successful. in their assignment, whatever it was. And therefore, you define leadership based on certain qualities. However, leadership is still a little bit of a challenge. Because sometimes people with those qualities may miss some of the other qualities. And so you find that they had potential to be something, but they didn't make it. So I want to begin, first of all, with my philosophy, which I will repeat in every session with me. Here's my philosophy. My philosophy is that everyone was born to be a leader. Write that down. Every human was born to be a leader. I am convinced of that. Now, of course, we all know that the first question that comes to your mind when you hear that is, if everyone is a leader, then who's going to follow? That question is very logical, but to me, it is also illogical. The question, who's going to follow if everyone is a leader, comes from your culture. You have been cultured to believe that in order to be a leader, you got to have followers. I used to believe that until I discovered some interesting realities from the spiritual perspective of God concerning leadership. Everyone was created to be a leader, born to be a leader. So here, let me rest your confusion. They were born to be leaders, but not over people. Amen. Write that down. That's important. You were born to be a leader, but not over people. Now, I hope that relaxes you a little bit. See, many times we think that a person is a leader because they got many people following them. But I discovered from my own experience, plus my years of studying these great characters, and especially studying the ideas of God, which is contained in the book we call the Bible, I discovered that God's idea supported the philosophy that every human was created to be a leader, not over people, but in an area of gifting. Write it down. You were born to be a leader in an area of gifting, not over people. And in our last session, I tried to show you how that works. That when a person discovers their gift and they identify the unique thing that they are supposed to serve to the world, that person has found their leadership. Now that destroys all of the theories that I studied in college. It also destroys most of the books I read on leadership. Because most of those theories in those books are focused on a different concept, which I'm going to talk about tonight. It came from the philosophy of the Greek world, which is a very dangerous philosophy. We'll talk about that. All right. Let's then talk a little bit about the original leadership philosophy. I'm talking about the one that God presented. First, I am convinced from the Bible that trapped in every follower is a hidden leader. Secondly, I am convinced that every human being was created to lead and designed to dominate in an area of gifting. Thirdly, I believe that leadership potential resides in every human. God obviously believes that. That's why he chose you to do great things, even though you are afraid to do them. Fourthly, I believe that you were born to lead, but you must become a leader. It's a process. You were born for it, but you got to go through a process to actually become it. Fifthly, I believe that true leadership is really self-manifestation. True leadership is really a person discovering who they are and then deciding to become it. And the emphasis is on decision. Because you can discover who you are and still not have the boldness and the confidence to become yourself. And number six, I believe that the purpose for true leadership is not to maintain followers, but to produce leaders. Now these convictions are very deep in me, and this is why I treat people the way I treat them. I believe that everybody has in them a hidden leader trapped in a follower. And most cemeteries are filled with people who never manifested. They lived all their life and we never met them. We met someone else because they never became themselves. And you are in danger of doing the same. And the reason why that danger exists is because your culture, the one you were brought up in, every country, does not encourage you, first of all, to find yourself, and they don't permit you to become it. They have already conditioned you. They have a little slot made for you, and you got to fit in it. They even give you an NIB number. They tell you when to retire from life. They put a date on it, a time, an age on it. In other words, they tell you when you are useless. The whole thing is designed to use you until they are tired of you and they call it retirement. They tell you what school to go to. They create the curriculum, which is designed for employment, not deployment. And so the whole system is worked out to make sure you become exactly what they want you to be. This is why all true leaders declare independence from their culture. Study history. Anyone who wanted to change their generation had to leave it. They had to become what we call a rebel. The word rebel means to rebel. To rebel means you are not behaving yourself. To behave means you are not doing what we told you to do. Rebels become leaders because they decide to defy someone else's prescription of who they should be. So leaders are really dangerous people. They are people who decide not to seek your approval. They found something more important. They found themselves. What I am teaching you now will never be taught in any school in your country. Because that is not what they want you to know. So we are taught to behave ourselves, to fit in. Leaders are so busy standing out, they don't have time to fit in. This is why my philosophy comes from this list, because it comes from the very heart of God when I discovered it. Now, I wasn't born believing this because I was born trapped just like most of you. I was born under their system. You wonder, how did Miles Monroe get away from the Bahamian mentality? How did he escape being trapped in a culture that tells you how high you can go, how far you can go, and who you can influence? I escaped. Because of what I'm teaching you tonight. No human set me free. I don't trust humans. You shall know the truth. And that's all I do. My job tonight is not to try and change you, but to give you truth as I know it. And hopefully you'll get it tonight. A light will come on and you'll have a transformation in your mind. You will be renewed in your mind. And you will be what? Transformed by what? The renewing of the mind. And that's my job. Let's take a look then at philosophy. Now, what I told you just now is that was my philosophy. My philosophy can be summarized in two statements. One, trapped in every follower is a leader. Two, true leadership is not pursued. It is discovered. If you were to study true leaders in history, you will discover that they did not desire to be leaders. I'm one of them. I didn't desire to be what I am. See, true leaders do not pursue power. They don't pursue notoriety. They don't pursue being seen. As a matter of fact, most true leaders love to be by themselves. You think we like crowds, you know. You really think, I don't like crowds. I enjoy being by myself. Because I love myself. Me and myself are best friends. Me and my friend go walking together. Me and myself, we go walking together. We talk to each other and even answer each other. How are you doing? I'm fine. True leaders do not pursue leadership. They discover something. Matter of fact, all true leaders that I have ever studied or even met, they will tell you they never try to do what they're doing. They were overtaken by something. A cause, a passion, a dream, a vision, a desire, a wrong that needed to be right. There's something that took over their life. Rosa Parks only sat on a bus. What made her a leader? She declared independence from that culture. I will not fit in the back seat of the bus, she says. I don't fit there. I can fit where I feel like fitting. And I feel like fitting right here in the front, she says. And they call the police. She says, I don't care. I paid the same price as the people up front. I am sitting here. She discovered that she was equal. No one taught her that. She discovered it. Do you know what I hope before I die? I hope that one day you will discover yourself. I will be a happy man. Discover yourself. That's my goal. And then finally, my philosophy is that true leadership is the discovery of your purpose. Purpose. Everybody say purpose. Purpose means reason for existence. Everything in creation has a purpose. Everything. The sun, the moon, the stars, the ants, the mosquito. God created everything for a purpose. What is purpose? Reason for existence. God created nothing for beauty. Even though things may be beautiful, that is not its purpose. A beautiful flower is not created by God for beauty. It attracts certain insects, the color. Nothing God created is just for fun. It has an assignment. The ocean, the rain that falls, the hair in your nose was put there to trap bacteria from destroying your lung. Nothing is without a reason. The wax in your ear that you keep taking out, don't take all out, because the wax is designed to stick all the dust so it doesn't infect your inner ear and make you deaf. every gland that produces wax was put there by God. Nothing is without a purpose. So the question is, if God has a purpose for the hair in your nose, he must be of a reason for the person who got the nose. So that means that you came to earth with and for. I repeat, you came to earth with and for a purpose. Nobody is a mistake. And this is why God hates abortion. Abortion is not the killing of a baby. It's the termination of purpose. Parents are only used by God to deliver purpose to the earth. So whether you were born in wedlock, out of wedlock, under the lock, outside the lock, beside the lock, or no lock at all, you have a purpose. Give God a hand. You are important. So it really doesn't matter where you were born, who your parents happen to be or not be, whether you know them or not, has nothing to do with your arrival. They were used. So you have leadership hidden on the inside. I show a picture of this lady here. Who is she? Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa was 4'9". She was like this high. She spoke to the United Nations and addressed all the nations. She was a school teacher. A school teacher. Some of you who are school teachers don't even know who you are. She was a school teacher teaching in junior high school. That woman right there. And she decided to be a missionary school teacher, and she left her home and went to India and lived in India as a school teacher. That woman. And her school happened to be in one of the poorest cities in the world, Calcutta. Every time she went to school, she had to walk over lepers. People on the street in the mud with flies all over them. She had to step over people with dead bodies that died during the night, piled up by the millions. Second largest country in the world, India. She saw people's legs rotten off with leprosy. You should read her story. And she said every day she would go to school walking over these poor, dead, dying people suffering. And she wept all the way to class. And every day she would weep. And she'd become angry. That's an important word. She said she became angry every day she went to work angry. Angry at what she saw. She hated what she saw. Everybody say hate. Hate. Anger and hate are important for leadership. All true leaders are angry and they are full of hate. I am one of them. You cannot become a leader until you hate something and you're angry at something. Study the leaders. What makes a person a leader? Something makes them angry. I wonder if you are angry at anything. Until you are angry, you are a follower. until you can stand up in the middle of the House of Assembly, pick up the mace and the crown of the queen and throw it out the window, you ain't a leader yet. There has to be anger. What makes you angry? See, leadership, you can't learn it in the classroom. It happens to you. It happens to you. This woman, she said one day she couldn't take it anymore. Everybody said, take it anymore. See, I gave you this statement. Write these down. These are important statements. Hate, anger, and can't take it anymore. See, you decide to become a leader when you can't take it anymore. So you can be angry for a while and still not do anything about it. You can hate something for a while and still not do anything about it. You're still not a leader. But when you get to the point where you say, I can't take it anymore, a leader is born that day. Because that's the day you decide to sacrifice your own safety. That's why we can't find too many true leaders in the Bahamas. Which politician you know in the House of Assembly right now who is angry, hate what's happening to the people, and is willing to do anything to do something about it, even lose their friends? See, you know what she did? She said she went to school that day and told her Monsignor, her boss at the school, the Catholic school, she said, I quit. He said, what are you talking about? She said, that's it. I can't take it anymore. He said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to death of those people. He said, what people? She said, I'm going to feed the poor. He said, Calcutta has 300 million people. She said, I'll start with the first one. Can your anger cause you to begin with just one? Are you leadership material? Are you willing to go by yourself? Start by yourself with just one? She said, can I have my paycheck, please? And the priest tried to talk her out of it. She said, no, I can't take it anymore. So he gave her a paycheck, that little woman right there. She took her last paycheck, went to the street, went to the fruit vendor, and spent her entire last check on food. She bought the fruits, the vegetables, took them to the people she walked over, and gave them food in the road. Thus was born Mother Teresa. I wonder if you will take your last check. Sacrifice. Could you imagine a member of parliament giving up his salary and saying, could you imagine a bishop in Nassau giving up his salary and saying, I gotta do something? That's why we're followers. We are more about survival, yes, than we are about leadership. I gotta survive, you see. I discovered something very interesting. Write this down, and you'll find it in the book. If you help people get what they want, you will always have what you need. You know that. Can I say it again? If you help other people get what they want, you will always have what you need. That's why true leaders do not work for money. They attract it. Leadership. Oh, it's hard to find. This woman. Let me talk a little bit about leadership attitude. First of all, leadership is not about controlling people. It's about service. Secondly, leadership is not about power. It's about empowering people. You know, so many people you know, they're looking for power. They are not leaders. They are immature, insecure parasites. They are sucking on other people's fears, manipulating other people's fears to make themselves strong. They manipulate to control. These are not leaders. They are leeches. Suck your blood to make themselves strong. Leaders empower people. Some of you are wondering, how can Dr. Munro ordain 40 people? I'm excited. Why? I'm making my job easier. I'm empowering people. That's my job. I told you all and those who are in membership class, remember this. My vision is a church of 3,000 leaders, amen, not 3,000 followers. Amen. It's not about getting power. It's about empowering other people. Leadership is not about manipulation. It's about inspiration. True leaders don't manipulate people. They inspire people. They cause people to believe in themselves. They cause people to believe nothing is impossible. Could you imagine Jesus telling three men from a family island settlement called Galilee that nothing is impossible if you believe it? That's what he taught in his classes to country people. He was telling these people who grew up in a hick town, he says, go into all the world. He believed they could. He violated their educational limitations. He ignored their culture and their religious upbringing. He defied what their parents told them. He said, you go into all the world and take my product. What you have is a world-class product, and you are a world-class salesman. He was giving them such big dreams. He inspired them to believe. That's what leaders do. Leadership is not about people. It's about purpose. Let me explain this one. Leadership is about finding and pursuing your purpose, not finding and pursuing people. People will be attracted to a person who is pursuing their purpose. So a leader doesn't look for followers. They're too busy pursuing their purpose. It's kind of a paradox, you know. You don't look for people, but they find you. Can I say it again? You don't look for people, but they find you. And they find you because you ain't looking for them. You are looking for a purpose. It's a paradox. So if you want to be great, don't pursue people. Pursue your purpose, your assignment, your vision, your gift. And then they'll find you. Leave it at number five. Leadership is about becoming, not doing. You know, a lot of people do a lot of things and nobody remember them. You know, busy people. People work hard and no one knew they were here. Your uncle was a hard worker and he dead now. Ain't nobody remember even where his grave is. You can work hard and still be forgotten. But you can never forget a person who became themselves. Because when you become yourself, you declare independence from other people. You cannot be recognized if you are the same as everybody else. This is why a leader is an original and not a copy. And most of you have been trained to follow other people. I'm talking about even where would they wear. We call it style. I call it prison. I wonder if you are becoming. My mother, bless her heart, she's in heaven now. My mother used to say about me all the time, she used to say, "You're different." 11 children, you know. She said, "Boy, you're different. I don't know about you, but you're different." Why? She said, "You always ask questions these other kids don't ask. And your questions, old people is ask." I say, "I want to know." I wonder if they say that about you. You're different. It's difficult to ignore an original. So your goal in life is not to become like anyone, to become yourself. Write this down. Learn from others, but never become them. What did I say? I want you to go to work and learn everything you can from your boss, your supervisor, your manager, but don't dress like them, talk like them, and carry a purse like them. You be yourself. You see me? Learn everything you can from me, but don't try to be me. You can't be this original stuff here. You be yourself. Learn everything you can. Now learn from people. Everybody got to learn from someone, but don't become them. Don't lose yourself in other people. Protect the most important thing God gave you, and that's your personality, your unique person. You are original. No replacement. That's why God has never repeated anything in life. Did you know that? That's a whole new teaching. But I discovered in shock that God never repeated anything. No two leaves on a tree are the same. Your eyes are, do you know your eyes are different? They'll tell you. Your fingers, there's no two fingers the same size. I mean, nothing. God hates duplicates. Twins are not the same. Different fingerprint. So when you imitate, you lose your value. What did I say?
When you imitate, you lose your value.
Yeah. So leaders are people who have declared independence from other people. So they say, "You're different." Tell them, "Thank you very much. I was looking for that long time." Ladies and gentlemen, here's the challenge. This is the challenge. I call it a challenge. Leadership is the eyes of the organization or the country. So leaders really need to be very important to a country and an organization. Secondly, leadership provides vision for the family, the community, the city, and the nation. So if we can find leaders, then the family, the community, and the nation are lost. And you might say we might be in that position now in most countries, where the people who run in the country are not originals. They are trying to get approval from everybody else. They want to be liked. True leaders doesn't care if you like them. I'm serious. And that's why you like them. You like them because they don't care if you like them. They have a love for themselves and a confidence that is so powerful that it attracts you to them because you see in them what you would like to be yourself. You know, imitation is not just flattery. Imitation is foolishness. For you to imitate, you have to lose yourself. And so, here's what God wants us to do. And this is my statement. You find this in the book. Institutionalizing a leadership-centered culture is the ultimate act of leadership. That's a big sentence. Write it down. What it means is that true leaders desire to create an entire organization of leaders. Jesus, therefore, trained his disciples, all of them, to go into all the world. He told all of them, you are all leaders. Go with your unique personalities and your unique gifts. Go and take the good news that the kingdom of heaven has arrived. He says, you go in your unique way. This is why he never told them how to go. He told them where to go, what to say, how far to go, but he never told them how. Because how has to do with your uniqueness. So Paul and Peter and John and James, they were all different. And God wanted them to protect their differences because they each were able to meet and reach different markets based on their uniqueness. Not everyone can come to this ministry. I'm telling you. Because they can't handle this. They need pastors to come and visit them and rub their toe in their house and serve their communion on the bed. That's what they need. You can't handle ministry like this. We are a leadership ministry. You got to be very self-confident to come here. We are producing leaders. And I'm not, you know, surprised. I mean, I'm quite clear what I'm doing. So, you know, some people come and they leave and I say, well, praise the Lord. You know, I bless them and they go. But, you know, I ain't going to change to please them. I got to stay assigned to my assignment. Transform followers into leaders. And leaders into agents of change. That's our vision here. So if you want to become a leader, you come here. If you want to become a leader, you can, you know, go and worship somebody else. No problem with that. And that's where you want to be. So we are here to produce leaders. Number four, whatever we are in our lives, someone led us there. And that's why it's important for you to check who you're following. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind. Is that possible? According to him, yes. It's possible for you to be leading people, and you're blind. It is possible for you to be following someone who's blind. He said it's possible. The only problem is they both fall into the ditch, he says. What he means is you cannot lead people farther than you've gone yourself. And you cannot lead people beyond where you've gone. So you choose your leaders based on your destiny. Decide who you're going to follow based on where you want to go. If you see a man doing great things, a woman doing great things, hitch your wagon up to them. If you want to do great things. If you want to be a success, you don't follow a failure. It's not a mystery in life. People will lead you where they're going. And if they ain't going nowhere. Leadership is powerful. It takes you where you follow it. And you got to be careful. And that's important about you too because you are a leader. Now, I have a picture of a guy here. Who do you think that is? Caesar. Good, someone got it. And the reason why I put him up there, because I'm going to show you tonight, we're talking about defining leadership. I want to show you tonight where we got our leadership mentality from. It came from this guy right here. Now, Caesar was not a Greek. He was a Roman. But the Romans invaded Greece. The Greeks were the first civilization who documented systematic study of human behavior. This is important. If you want to sound smart, write what I said and then repeat it. Let me say it again. The Greeks were the first civilization to document systematic study, research on human behavior. So the Greeks were what they call intellectuals. They were called from the Hellenistic period. This was the period of humanity where reason became God. Reason means they reasoned out everything. It's another form of humanism. The Greeks were thinkers. Everybody say thinkers. They were very dangerous because they were thinkers. Thinkers will always rule doers. So the Greeks were the first ones who produced all this material on human behavior. Matter of fact, three of the most famous leaders from that group, you know them or heard about them. Socrates, Aristotle, and Plato. They were Greeks. They invented things like Democrata. Sounds familiar? Yes, they invented democracy. The Greeks did. That's not from the Bible, that's from the Greeks. They're the first ones to develop the concept of citizen. Matter of fact, the Greek word for citizen, write it down, is the word P-O-L-I-T-E-S. Politis. That sounds familiar? It's politician. That's the word in Greek. They're the first ones to study human control. They're the first ones to document manipulations, mechanism, how to control humans. The Greeks were fantastic thinkers. They're the first ones to invent what we call leadership theory. I'm getting at something very important here. So let me give you now, I studied this in college and I was shocked. And then when I finished college, I kept reading and I was more shocked. I discovered that the Greeks actually still rule the world. The Greeks are ruling the world from their grave. As a matter of fact, dead men rule the Bahamas. Dead men. Dead men rule America. Dead men. Dead men rule Europe. Dead men. Why? Their ideas are so powerful. They left it after they died. They invented democracy, and it's ruling the whole Western world, including the Bahamas. That's dead men ruling your country. They were powerful. Now, the Greeks, when I studied them, they had all these complicated ideas about human authority and human power. And they studied, you know, the concepts of how to control crowds and how to manipulate people, and very interesting concepts. I isolated a few of them for you that survived even today in our culture. Here's the first one. The Greeks believed that leadership was a product of natural endowment. Write it down. What does that mean? The Greeks believed that certain humans were born with, endowed with certain unique characteristics. And if you weren't born with those qualities, then their conclusion was you were created by the divine gods to be a slave. They believed that. So it doesn't matter what you think about yourself. They would study you and see if you have those natural endowments. If you don't have them, it doesn't matter how many degrees you get from college. You are simply an educated slave. That's a Greek idea. Another one of their beliefs is this. Leadership is a product of birth traits. The Greeks believed that you who were born with certain unique traits were automatically leaders. Those who were born without those traits are automatically slaves. So their society was very, very neat. No traits, traits. Slaves, leaders. Let me give you an example, because when I read the traits, I became a little bit sick. One of the traits were, if you were born with a sharp pointed nose, blue eyes, fair skin, fair skin, like white, and thin lips. This is written in their document. You were born to be a leader. Now, you know I canceled, right? That's it for me. I done lost a long time. I got dark skin, big nose, my lips big. And my hair is not blonde, and my eyes ain't blue. I'm a slave. So if I was born in Greece 2,000 years ago, there's no question where I belonged. So you just know where to go. Just behave yourself. So you were relegated by destiny to be a slave. The Greeks believe that. The third thing the Greeks believed is very interesting. The Greeks believed that leadership was a product of providence. Providence means the gods chose you to be leaders. Therefore, those who were not chosen by the gods were destined to be followers. Destined means you ain't got a chance to be a leader. Now, this is very important here. So you ever wonder why the Greeks had so many gods? They were polytheists. That's a big word. It simply means many gods. It's the Greeks who had gods like Zeus and Apollos. These are Greek gods. They had gods like Diana of the Ephesians. All these weird gods. They had hundreds of gods. Matter of fact, the Greek rulers believed they were sons of the gods. That's why the word Hercules. Hercules is a Greek son of a god. All them stories you hear, these are Greek myths. And they're saying that those who were born are not chosen by the gods as opposed to serve us who were chosen by the gods. In other words, you were born to serve me if you got big nose, black skin, thin lips. If your lips were big, you're my servant. If your hair was not blonde and it was nappy, you are a slave. So this is serious. So this is the philosophy of the day. So putting on a suit and wearing a tie didn't impress them. You are simply a well-dressed slave. See, some of y'all think that changed. That's why I'm getting to it slowly. I'm working my way there. See, some of y'all think that because you came back home with a PhD, that they ain't gonna bring the white consultant in and work over you. And you got more degrees. Because somewhere in their twisted mind, they are still sick with Greek thinking. This permeates our structures. It permeates the fabric of our leadership. That's why I am so weird when I be among them. I'd be so ashamed that they even think that way. How can you think that we're not good enough to own something? Because they are being convinced by the Greeks. The last one, the Greeks believed that leadership was a product of charismatic personality. You'll find this in the writings. Go on the internet, you type in charismatic personality, the Greeks will come up. The Greeks invented the word charisma. That's a Greek word. Do you know what it means? Write it down. It means gifts of the gods, plural, or giftings of the gods. Charisma. Charisma. Gifts of the gods. Charis, gifts. Ma, gods. Charisma. Gifts of the gods. In other words, the Greeks believed that people who were born with certain gifts from the gods were automatically leaders. Let me name some of the gifts they wrote. Flamboyant personality. That's a gift from God. You know, people who are always up front. Hey. They say that person was born to be a leader. If you're quiet and very, you know, reserved, they say, oh, you're born to be a slave. Second quality they say is charismatic is ability to speak. People talk a lot. Talk. Like, you know, the one who was talking, they said, that's a gift from the God. So if you are quiet, you don't talk, like my wife, you're born to be a slave. My wife wouldn't survive in a Greek culture. The Greeks believed. One of the traits that they talk about, this charismatic trait, is one where you are communicative. Like you don't mind talking to people, like getting to know people. You're open. We call it extrovert. Yeah, they say that's charismatic. Extrovert spirit. The Greeks say if you have an extrovert spirit, then you are automatically a leader. So anybody who is reserved and careful will automatically a servant, a slave. Now, these are real. Here's the problem. When the Greeks were invaded by the Romans invaded this culture of the Greeks, but the Romans normally would go into a place and, you know, wipe out the place. But when they came to Greece, they saw the beautiful temples, they saw all these gods, and, you know, beautiful statues. And then the Romans came to the capital and they saw the library with all these scrolls, all these writings. I mean, thousands of scrolls. And the Romans were so impressed. Now, the Romans are military guys. They're not into thinking. They're into fighting. So when they came to Greece, they were astonished. They said, you know, no other civilization is like this. So instead of destroying the library, the Romans saved it. And the Romans took the books from the library back to Rome. And the Romans studied and adopted Greek theory of leadership. And the Roman Empire ruled the whole world. Those of you who study history, you know the Romans ruled from Africa all the way up to Scotland. The whole world in between. This is the only country in history that ruled the world. No other country has ever yet ruled the world. Rome is still the greatest country in history. They ruled from Africa states all the way up to England. These guys rule all of Europe. These one nation ruled the world. And their philosophy of leadership was Greek philosophy. Think now. So the Romans believed, since they destroyed the Greeks, that they were gifts of the gods. So the leader of the Roman Empire took the name Caesar. Caesar is not a name. It's a title. It means son of the gods. And the Romans adopted the Greek theory of leadership, and they ruled the world with that. So anyone who was not a Roman was automatically a slave. So they say, when in Rome, you don't do what you feel like. You are a slave. You do what the Romans do, they say. Now you know where that came from. Okay. So the Romans now took over the whole world. Follow me. I'm trying to explain why you can't define leadership. Do you know what the Romans did? The Romans destroyed themselves because no one could destroy them. They were so powerful. They destroyed themselves by immorality. Rome was destroyed, they say, by the loins of the Caesars. Their sexual life destroyed them. And we're on our way there again. 14 Caesars ruled Europe. 14. 12 were homosexuals. And they liked little boys. And Rome was destroyed by immorality. We're heading that way again. People think, you know, this is new stuff, you know, talking about homosexuality. I'm sitting there going, you old. Some of you hear me say that. You think I'm not throwing jazz. This is nothing new. We're on our way down if we go this way. History has proven you don't go this way. You self-destruct. Rome proved it. Rome was destroyed by immorality. Their value systems collapsed. They became so preoccupied with the flesh, with pleasure. No one could destroy them from outside. So they imploded. They rot from the inside. The Roman Empire rot. Matter of fact, they were so rotten that they used to kill each other, sisters and brothers, to keep the throne. You read some of the stories, you won't believe the stories. They became so immoral, so valueless, that they would kill their own brother to keep the throne. Sleep with their own mother and their sister, incest, to keep a child on the throne from their own family, because they had no sons or daughters. They would exchange sex. These guys, they destroyed themselves. Immorality. And there are people today standing up in parliaments and senates, standing up in Congress, and they just fighting for the same thing the Romans were destroyed by. He said, man just never learns. You know, the guy said, the first time made a mistake, that's on you. The second time, that on me. You don't make the same mistake twice. I read once in a book, it says, if you make the mistake the second time, it was not a mistake. It was a choice. Are we going to choose this way? So the Romans ruled the world, destroyed themselves. Now here's the big part. The Roman Empire did not fall by invasion. It fell by disintegration. Disintegration means it fell apart, like a piece of cake that just broke up in little pieces. That's how the Roman Empire fell apart. Well, you just broke up. And what happened was everybody scrambled for power. And the result was many little kingdoms. Instead of one kingdom, many little kingdoms. Let me give you some of their names. Spanian. Franco. Belger. This is Roman kingdoms. Anglo. Roman kingdoms. Pachuco. Roman kingdoms. We know these kingdoms in English. Franco, France. Belger, Belgium. Porco, Portugal. Anglo, Spanian. They're all kingdoms. They are all Romans. You can get it after I'm gone. They are all Romans. So their psyche, their mentality, ingrained. We were chosen by the gods to rule anybody who don't have our traits. They were chosen by the gods to be our servants and our slaves. They are not complete divine beings like us. We are superior. So the French and the Spanish and the Portuguese and the British, Anglo, call them Anglo, they decided to expand their kingdoms. So they came to Africa and the Caribbean. And we call it colonization. Colonization is the expansion of Greek leadership philosophy. So going to Africa and bringing slaves over as merchandise was easy. Why? Big nose, big lip, dark skin, busy head, black eyes. I found a million servants, they say. So they come to the West. They establish their plantations, whether it is Carolina or Florida or Louisiana, or the Bahamas, or Jamaica, or Barbados, or St. Kitts, or St. Thomas, or St. Lucia, or Guyana, or Mexico. They had their plantations, and they couldn't use the people they met here, because they killed them out with disease. And so they went and found some divine slaves, chosen by the gods to work the ground. And they brought them over on ships. And the first ones to bring them was the Portuguese. The Portuguese told the British, we found some people to work the farms. And the British said, where you got them from? They follow us. And they went to the south, the west coast of Africa. And then the French found out. The French says, oh, let's go get some too. And then the Spanish says, oh, let's get some too. And everybody started dashing for divine slaves. Remember, divine means you were chosen by the gods. It's not racism. It's leadership philosophy. That is in the psyche of the system. Oh, I am here. You are here, some of you of my pigmentation, and millions of us here in the region, because of a leadership philosophy. That's how important leadership is. If the blind lead the blind. We were being led. And they convinced you. Matter of fact, if you read the writings of the oppressor, they wrote things like this. They read the Bible on you. They said, now you must be good slaves. And they gave us Jesus. You wonder why, you know, the black Muslims and people like that rose up? Because they even used Jesus as part of manipulation. You know, Jesus said you must be nice slaves. And then you'll go to heaven. If you go to heaven, you'll get robe and shoes. You can't get them now because we ain't giving you none. But, you know, you get them and you get to heaven. So now the slave in the farm starts singing, I got a shoe. Master, you got a shoe. All of God's children got a shoe. But I ain't going to get mine until I go to heaven. I'll walk all over. See, in other words, you get yours now, Master. I can get mine when I go to heaven. All of that is brainwashing. Those songs that we used to glory and call Negro spiritual, you need to read the words of those songs. They are strong songs of conversion for your mind to make sure you never rise above. I used to sing them, so don't look at me funny. I was born in a little town called Baintown. That was a village of slaves. I'm trying to show you where leadership problems come from. So for 394 years, they ruled these islands and they made all of us believe you were born to clean my house. You were created to plant my corn. You were sent by God to wash my clothes and cook for my children. And so there we were stuck in the back room. Oh, by the way, you know, you ain't got no charisma, so you must be seen and not heard. You see, that's all that's part of the system. So you're supposed to work, but no one's supposed to see you. And so the little slave walk around the house cooking, and that's, you know, and they ain't supposed to be around when master got friends. See, the whole thing, psychological, that's why some of y'all are timid. You're so timid today, and you think you're cool. Timidity was taught. That is why when a man of my pigmentation speaks up, it makes them nervous because you ain't behaving. Some of y'all wonder why they thought Martin Luther King was a problem. Because he was a black man talking loud. You ain't supposed to talk loud. Stay in your southern church, have church with a stained glass window and shout by yourself. Don't come out here telling us we're wrong. That was the problem. It was a leadership problem. 2 Miss Rosa Parks that she's in the wrong seat was very natural for them. You don't understand. You say, President, no prejudice. This is the conditioning of the culture. You ain't supposed to sit here. Yeah, but I'm a human. You ain't no complete human. See? The gods told us where you're supposed to sit. In the back, they say. Divine assignment. I'm saying this for a reason. That is still here in the Bahamas. Yeah. No matter how much school you go to, no matter how many degrees you get, no matter how much you think you know, when you come back, they tell you, you're just a smart slave. It's a leadership mentality. So now you know why Martin Luther was angry. You see why I hate oppression? Because I got the truth. I love everybody. I like everybody. But don't you ever imagine you're better than me. Oh, you think you're better? I draw a line. Cross that. That's a Van Town talk. You don't know about that. And if I draw a line, that means fight start. Tell your neighbor, ain't nobody better than me. Say it. Come on, say it like you believe it. I ain't convinced. Yeah, you go to work tomorrow, you tell them, wait a minute. I went to a meeting last night. Run into the truth. The Romans invaded the rest of the world with their philosophy. And now we have today, we are only 40 years old, and you think you're far from it. See the Filipinos? Same problem. The British took over there. First the Spanish took over, then the British came. So they had two armies. So the Filipinos got the same issue. Mental damage. And this is why when a Caribbean man wins a gold medal, it becomes a problem to the systems. What are you doing? Leadership problems. And that's how they define leadership. They defined it by these strange philosophies. And they still exist today. When I paid my house off, I'll never forget. I keep telling this story because I can't forget it. I walk into the bank to pay the last payment on my house. I own my house. And when I signed the paper, the guy says, read it first. It was the original document of that paper for that piece of property. I read the document. The original document. It says, this property is never to be sold to a Negro. That is in the conveyance document in the Bahamas. You hear me, young man? The house I live in was never supposed to be mine. It's in the document. It's a covenant. Never to be sold to a Negro. My son and my daughter were with me. I said, I want you all to read that because I want you to remember that. And they read it. I said, don't you forget, we can live anywhere we want to live. Sometimes you don't understand my passion, why I hate oppression so much. Because it devalues God's image. Nothing is impossible. Nothing. And so leadership has been twisted. And that's why even when I listen to our leaders, those who stood up to fight, you don't know what they went through. Being locked up and put in jail and rocks thrown at their houses. You need to read the history of the Bahamas. Some of you young people don't understand what this country was like. There are parts of this country we couldn't even drive. Why? Over there it's for the slaves. Over here is for the master. That wall called Collins Wall, that divided the black and the white, man. Some of y'all young people, the wall gone now, but you don't want a little piece left. You go there, touch that wall. That's where you came from. And I keep wondering why we don't talk about this. Why don't we talk about it? It's important to talk about this so we never go back there. I don't understand. Maybe the fellas got paid off. Maybe they were paid to not talk about this. Because it embarrasses certain people and their legacy. But let me tell you something. The truth is the only thing that sets you free. I ain't going back there. I free forever. I ain't know but you. But me? Dangerous man. And my goal is to help you become free. by telling you the truth. Question, how did I become free? Let me close with how I got free. Here's how I got free. I discovered that God created me in his own image, not in the image of the Greeks. You know, let me just comment on this too, because most of the slaves who went for education, they went to England, didn't they, from the Bahamas? They went to England. England is Rome, okay? So they went to the British school, and they got their higher education, right? Okay. And then they came back. So they went to the same school that trained their masters. So they come back, and some of them weren't speaking like Bahamian. And in 3 years, they will sound different. Is anybody here? I don't want to touch this too deep, but I want to show you how messed up we are. We figure if we sound like them, dress like them, and walk like them, and drink spoons and tea like them, maybe we'll be equal to them. And they bust out laughing at you. And they're probably still laughing. They believe you can't rule yourself. You can't even make a decision regarding your own laws of hanging people. This is a mentality, see? You people, and they say you people, they use that term, you people. In other words, you people. There's these people, then there's you people. The two different peoples in the world. The spirit of the Greeks, distributed by the Romans, still among us. Now here's the mystery. So the black slave goes away to the school. He comes back. He sounds like them, right? And then he figures because he sounds like them, he got to treat you the way they treat you. So all of a sudden he think he better than you. Anybody know them kind of people? I saw them when I grew up in Baytown. I got to bring this all out, you know, to the ghetto before I die. But this thing is real. And then they walk around as if they better than you. And they look like you, you know, they look like you, smell like you. Everything, but all of a sudden they think they're better than you. And the oppressor likes that because he ain't got to fight you no more. Your own people fight you. So they give your own people a little promotion to make sure they ain't got to deal with you. You think you got blessed. No, you got set up to keep your own people down. Should I stop now? See, this is just, you wondering why sometimes I'm mystified when people come to our country now. We claim we in charge, you know, and they come looking at our resources. And all of a sudden, somehow we go back into the plantation spirit. Whatever you want. Oh, you can give me 20%? Thank you. What? Y'all ain't ready for this. Y'all ain't ready for me. I am so tempted to get involved at the top level because I just can't afford to sit back and go back there. Leadership problem. It's all leadership issues. Amen. And this is our challenge. Our challenge is we define leadership the way they define it for us. So you're not allowed to be yourself. You're allowed to be what I told you. And you're stuck. May God have mercy on us. I discovered that true leaders create certainty in people. And that's what I want to do. I don't want to see you vacillating up and down, being manipulated. Leadership is about action where there's hesitation. You got leaders do things. They initiate things. Leaders give strength where there was weakness. They don't weaken people and oppress people. Leaders are those who who have expertise where there was floundering. In other words, I'm giving you technical knowledge. I know what I'm talking about. That's why they can't argue with me. I learned their own history. Leaders can have expertise to be effective. Don't just shout, say something. That's why you got to read books. I tell you, read books. Some of you all don't read the books. You need to understand this so you can become influential. Hold up a placard, don't get things done, my brother. You got to communicate your ideas and do it with intelligence and with precision. You can't expose darkness unless you have light. Light means knowledge, you know. Leaders give courage where there was cowardice. Leaders are those who are optimistic when everybody is cynics, negative. Leaders are those who have conviction that the future is better and it's possible. That's what leaders do. They give people hope. Leadership is about creating passionate commitment in other people to pursue a goal and a cause that is more important than their own private protection. They believe success in building a stronger humanity is better than building a personal, private success. Leaders are always wanting other people to succeed. This is not what we were given. Do you know how long they kept you down? Almost 400 years, man. All of a sudden, I must like you. Take me a while to trust you again. If we're going to be emerging as leaders, we're going to have to ask God to give us a revelation of who we are. We are not who they said we are. We are who God says we are, made in my image and my likeness. You have my spirit. You are made out of my spirit. You live in a body. You are the God material. You are my divine nature, the Bible says. You have my divine nature. You're not an animal. You don't live on instinct. You have the Spirit of God. May God help us. If I can just get a few of you to get this, I'll be okay. Because only a few powerful people, that's all you need to change the world. Christ only had 11 left. And he was satisfied. He said, let's go. Take the world. May God deliver us. And finally, leadership gives a spirit of hope. It helps people believe in themselves. And that's what they took from us. They raped us of our self-confidence. Our dignity, belief in our own ability to do great things. I remember when I went to QC, 1972, that's why I meant you. Yeah. I went to that school. And only a few black people could go to that school. QC, right up there. I remember in the class. I went there with 9 BJC, all distinctions. I was a smart bend down fella. I walk in the class. I wonder why they working so hard to get A-levels. I got 5 A-levels. All distinctions. And they couldn't believe me. And a teacher from England said, you are different from them. You're very unique. You are very different, you know. I said, I ain't different. I just smart. I study. All of them just like me. They make you think that you are an exception. I ain't no exception. All my brothers smart like me. All my sisters smart like me. All we need is opportunity to be ourselves. I hope that you'll be delivered from Greece Not greasing your hair now. You know, greasing. May the Greek mentality be loosed from you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. May you be set free by the word of God. May the Lord give you a revelation of who you are. Because what you're doing is only a fraction of what you could do. You have no idea how great you are. They convince you that a job is all you need. Sometimes I think the Bahamas is just one big plantation. And the master is still around. That's how I feel sometimes. The whole place. It's just one big plantation. Because all we got are jobs. How come we don't own anything? Food for thought. But we got some young people in this room tonight. I got hope for you. You're going to make it different. You're going to believe in God. You can believe that nothing is impossible. You will not settle for anything less than the best you deserve. Because ain't nobody better than you. Say it. Say it again. Ain't nobody better. Y'all better write a song like that for me, please. Ain't nobody better than me. Something. You got to convince yourself of that, man. I got to get in your spirit. In the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for each other. Father, I pray that you will raise up from among this group women and men that will change the face of this nation and the Caribbean. Lord, I pray that our region will be invaded by the original philosophy of leadership. And that is the one you wrote in your own word. Forgive us, Lord, for surrendering to the context. We declare independence now from everything they taught us. We ask you to uneducate us, hallelujah, so we can be re-educated by your revelation and by your Holy Spirit, because he's the teacher tonight. Release us, Lord, from being convinced that we are nothing. We rebuke that spirit. Lord, we are in the God class, made in your image and your likeness. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Father. Lift your hands and just thank him right now for what you heard tonight. Just go ahead, open your own mouth and ask God to release you from ideas that are destructive. To unlearn the things that have been binding you. You didn't even know they were binding you mentally. Ask him to release from you the spirit of timidity and fear and the fear of men. Ask him to give you conviction about who you are. A convincing of what you can do and that nothing is impossible. Ask him to spiritually transform your thinking. Oh, we give you glory. We give you praise. You are worthy because you are faithful. And you are here tonight. You taught us your ways. We give up all of our idiosyncrasies. We give up our learned habits of fear. We give up our learned habits of timidity. We release them right now. We embrace boldness. Father, we embrace what Paul told Timothy. You've not been given the spirit of fear and timidity, but the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. We embrace that spirit now. Thank you, Lord. We won't be afraid of their eyes. We won't be afraid of their mouths. We won't be afraid of their words. We are world class leaders. Thank you, Lord. Help us to believe this, Lord. Let it go deep into our spirit. Let tonight on our bed we be stirred by your presence. Thank you, Father. And you began good work in us. Finish it, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. pray the spirit of fear, Lord, fear of being ourselves.